I realize we're starting a little bit after our agenda, but I think on this historic day in San Francisco and many of our pre-morning discussions about the United States Supreme Court decision and the passion and joy in the streets of San Francisco at City Hall and amongst ourselves, we can give ourselves this 10 minutes before we actually officially start this meeting. Our first agenda item is my report, and we, as you know, will follow with additional reports thereafter. Let me first warn you that it's from April. So this, as you know, these reports summarize some of my engagements and ongoing outreach on behalf of the branch and in my position as Chief Justice of the State of California. And for all the activities having to do with the California Supreme Court, Justice Chin and our five colleagues travel as a group. So first let me say, we did have a special and historical June 8th council meeting to address the expedited rule in relationship to the traffic law, the appearance in court for infractions without deposit of bail. I truly appreciate all of the council members. I believe almost all of us were there, except for those who were on vacation, who were able to mobilize and respond quickly and be on that phone call that was open to the public and open to the public in a way that public could call in and listen but not comment. And we were able to pass that new law. Thank you to the Traffic Law Advisory Committee and Justice Hull for making that possible. This was swift, yet I would say deliberative action on this important issue. So I was honored to be recognized by the Governor Pat Brown Institute for Public Affairs at California State University, Los Angeles, for promoting civic engagement. It was an opportunity to discuss my role as a convener with the Power of Democracy Steering Committee. That's our committee from the judicial branch that arised from the Commission on Impartial Courts that was chaired by Justice Chin many years ago with the recommendation for civics engagement. That committee, the Power of Democracy, we call them the POD people, that includes representatives of all three levels of the California courts, the state bar, local bar associations, as well as local and state education organizations. Earlier that same day, I had the great pleasure of presenting the awards of excellence in our Civic Learning Awards program. That's a partnership of the judicial branch with the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tom Torlakson. And this was to three schools statewide who achieved the highest recognition. The first was the El Camino Creek Elementary School in Carlsbad for their Environmental Stewards Program and their Mock Trial Program. Also, the Evergreen Elementary School in Los Angeles for their SOS program that support our soldiers service program, their American Revolution enactment, and their scavenger hunt using historical documents to become President of the United States. There was also Mayfair Middle School in Lakewood for their classroom-based simulations and their six-day field trip to Gettysburg and our nation's capital, where they toured the White House, the U.S. Supreme Court, and other U.S. Capitol programs. This was the first time in several years we opened up our civics awards to middle schools and elementary schools. Previously, they are to high schools, and the enthusiasm of middle schools and elementary schools cannot be rivaled. The American Bar Association's Business Law Section presented me with their Women's Business Advocate Award for contributing to the advancement of women in the legal profession. 100 business litigators and judges from throughout the country attended their mid-year conference held here in San Francisco, and they were interested in hearing about attacks on a fair and impartial judiciary and the work of the Informed Voters Project that involved Administrative Presiding Justice Judith McConnell and Justice Joan Erian. They were also interested in hearing about the work of the Judicial Council and our efforts here in California in the last several years. Civic understanding and engagement of all three branches of government, but especially the judiciary, is a priority for all of us because our branch relies on public trust, understanding, and confidence. And frankly, I think today is a good example of, and yesterday, of some of the United States Supreme Court decisions that have occurred here that those of us with civic understanding understand, particularly one today, how hard fought those kinds of issues are and how they make their way through the courts and then affect and impact all Californians, all Americans. But because civics and education, I believe, is so important to understanding the judiciary and our rulings, I was very pleased to engage in a conversation and Q&A about civics and about the judiciary and about the legal profession with the California State PTA Convention involving nearly 3,000 parents, teachers, administrators, and students. Because I believe that informed and engaged students learn to care about and they learn to connect with their community, and they begin to understand that they're the next leaders and that they can affect change. And so I want those future leaders to understand the judiciary, its role in a democracy, its vital importance that it be impartial, independent, and stable and adequately funded. I was glad to participate in the Asian Pacific American Women Lawyers Alliance program in Los Angeles. It was entitled The Road to Leadership, Conversations with California's Highest Ranking API Officials. Betty Yee, our state controller, and John Cheng, our treasurer, also participated. And I know many of us participate in these kinds of programs because of California's diversity and our belief that we have created a pipeline for diversity through our schools and our colleges into our state bar, ultimately the bench, and ultimately to leadership in local and state government. I also had the pleasure of going back to my roots, where with Assemblymember Rob Bonta and West Sacramento Mayor Christopher Cabaldon, I participated in a tribute to Filipino labor organizers. It marked the 50th anniversary of the Delano grape strike here in California that went on for 5 years. It recognized the contributions of Larry Itliong, Philip Veracruz, and Dolores Huerta, who's still alive today, and the collective bargaining agreement that resulted from their leadership back in 1965. A diverse population also brings with it, as you know, in your courts, more than 200 languages and dialects. And the co-chairs of our implementation task force for California's Language Access Plan, Justice Cuellar and Judge Corubias, launched their first in-person meeting here in this boardroom, and I had the honor of giving a few remarks. I think it's worth noting that the Language Access Task Force posted their meeting agenda online in Spanish, Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean, Farsi, and English. And as you know, the task force's charge is to turn our approved language access plan into a practical roadmap for courts. It's a challenging assignment because of the nature of the need, because of the demands on the fiscal purse, but I have confidence in the task force's diversity, knowledge, and expertise in accomplishing that for California. The Judicial Council also reflects other forms of diversity in our court system, as you know, when we sit next to each other, small courts, medium courts, large courts, and all trial courts have representation on the advisory bodies as well as Judicial Council. So I enjoyed my conversation with Tehama Judge C. Todd Botke at the Cal Counties Judges Institute. It's called the Cal Counties. I did not give it that name. It's always been called the Cal Counties Institute. And these judges were interested in the new traffic rule that we had just passed that morning and the related fines and fees model that has evolved for the courts. It's interesting to note how many of the Cal County judges are active participants in statewide policy. So back in September 2014, I convened our first legal services liaison. It was a meeting where we met with the directors of the numerous legal services programs throughout California that had really felt the brunt of the recession and the loss of services and the ability to provide services based on the loss of funding to their programs. So we met to have for an opportunity to share and talk about our challenges. And it resulted in now regular meetings, because this is a component of equal access to justice, and it led to our first ever Court and Legal Services Partnership Summit in April. I attended that along with many justices, including folks you'll know who are leaders, Justice Zelon, Justice Roby, and also Mr. Kent Jean, Chair of the Board of Directors of the Legal Aid Association of California. Now, I want to point out that the summit could not have happened without the expertise of our own CFCC and CJUR staff, many of whom are recognized experts on the subject of pro bono services and legal aid in not only in California, but nationwide. But it was an important opportunity for all of us to come together to share and talk about how we can leverage our limited resources to provide greater service to those in need of legal representation and are unable to afford it. I was inspired by really what I experienced when I visited Judge Larry Brown's mental health court at the Sacramento Superior Court. Rather than keep running the mentally ill through a system of low or level crimes, Judge Brown's court seeks to keep those folks out of the jails and the hospitals by implementing a comprehensive treatment plan with accountability back to the court and back to the providers. His programs not only saved money, but improved outcomes for the mentally ill, the community, and justice partners. It was a very different setting for me to be in a small room packed with all the providers of the Sacramento area for mentally disabled or mentally ill, and all of the people there in the room to have some strong relationship with people who are appearing before court. Everyone knew each other, they knew the situation, they knew the family, and that connectedness, not only to the providers and to the court and to the same judge and the same staff, was really incredibly strong and moving, and it was not an adversarial court, it was really an ameliorative court, and I haven't really seen that much of that in the years that when I was in the Sacramento bench. As we know, half of all prisoners nationwide have some form of mental illness, and up to 20% of prisoners in California have some degree of mental illness. And as you know, we have a long and strong history of mental health collaborative courts, and I remind you, there are 39 adult mental health courts in 27 counties, and 7 and growing juvenile mental health courts in 7 counties. Lastly, I was humbled to participate alongside Governor Brown and Attorney General Harris in the 39th annual California Peace Officers Memorial Ceremony at the State Capitol in Sacramento, not only as the wife of a retired police officer, but also to be afforded an opportunity to recognize and commemorate how enforcing the law can sometimes result in the ultimate sacrifice for many of these families. That concludes my report to Council. Now we have Mr. Martin Hoshino's regular administrative director's report, as well as an update on the judicial branch budget.